qualifications to be sitting here in front of all these exalted devotees. But I'll try and make some attempt at speaking something on this very beautiful purport of Srila Prabhupada to this 15th verse of the 12th chapter of the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see from here, all these days we have been discussing about the amazing qualities of Dhritarasura. Srila Prabhupada in the purport earlier writes how, considering the qualities of Dhritarasura, we have to think that Dhritarasura is actually a sura and Indra is an asura. Because the sura epitomizes the quality what Dhritarasura is exemplifying. He has taken the position of actually Indra's guru, and he is telling Indra what should be the thought process of a person who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the previous verse, Dhritarasura is telling Indra that every living entity is actually dependent on the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of that, one should be equipoised in fame and defamation, victory and defeat, life and death, and so on. And in this particular verse, Dhritarasura is telling Indra how it is that a pure soul is just an observer. And Srila Prabhupada in this purport is quoting this verse from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nasauchati Nakangshati. How it is that a person who is transcendentally situated is always joyful. So this is really the benefit of being in Krishna consciousness. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Matras Parshas to Kaunteya Sitosna Sukadukada Agamam Paino Nitya Stam Titiksha Swabharata. This material nature is such that happiness and distress will come to our life just like the summer and winter season. But a person who is self-realized, he does not get affected by this. So these dualities of material nature are always upon us. Right from the time we are born, in fact, even before the time we are born, even when we are in the womb of our mother, there is so much of suffering. Srimad Bhagavatam describes in such a great detail how a child in the womb of its mother is actually crying out to Krishna that if I ever come out, I will be a servant of yours eternally. His back is bent like a bow and is in such a cramped situation. Everything that the mother is eating or drinking is directly affecting him. The worms inside this abdominal fluid is biting him. And he is really in such a state of suffering. And yet when he comes out of the womb, there is so much of attention that is showered on him. So much of love that he completely forgets about what he was praying in his womb, in the womb of his mother. And that's a condition with all of us, unfortunately. And right from that time onwards, there is a little bit of happiness in our life, a little bit, or mostly there is sadness. As Srila Prabhupada would very graphically describe as to what is it that a person really undergoes in this material world. We think that every bit of happiness is something that we need to relish and enjoy. But what is it that is actually this happiness that is experienced by a living entity, by a human being? Srila Prabhupada would give this example how a person is taken to the middle of a river or middle of a lake, and then he is caught by the hair and dunked into the water. And then when he is on the point of drowning, when he is on the verge of dying, he is brought up to the surface. And then he takes a gasp of air, and then he feels so relieved. He's so happy, he thinks that I am experiencing happiness. And then again he is put into the water. And again he is suffering. So this is the condition that a human being faces. And he thinks that when he is in happiness, which is actually an absence of suffering, There's nothing positive about it. It's actually negation of the negative, which in the spiritual context is not positive. In the material context, it is. Minus of minus is plus. But in the spiritual context, minus of minus is not plus. Minus of minus may be at the most zero. So that is spiritual mathematics. So this is what he experiences. Day after day, month after month, year after year, right till the time he leaves his body. And in fact, the time of leaving his body, that is the time when he is in maximum suffering. The Garuda Puran explains how it is that a person who is leaving his body is, it's like being bitten by 40,000 scorpions. I remember once Sanat Kumar Prabhu, when he was in Dhound, he was narrating how there would be so many scorpions over there. Fortunately, in our new farm, we don't have any scorpions. But in Dhound, there used to be so many scorpions. And they would just creep through the door, or sometimes they would be just, because devotees would be forced to sleep outside, they would not be able to sleep inside. And sometimes they would get bitten by one of the scorpions. And literally for 48 hours, the devotee would be in such a state of misery. He can't sit, he can't lie down, he can't stand, he can't walk. I mean, every time he's experiencing that burning pain. And what to talk about a person who gets bitten by 40,000 scorpions. Excruciating. Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam even explains what is the condition of a person who is about to leave his body, who is materially conscious. He has his family members surrounding him, and all of them are lamenting, all of them are telling him, don't leave us, what will we do without you, how can we manage, who will look after us. And this person who is actually supposed to be in proper consciousness when he's leaving his body, he's in such anxiety. Oh my God, how can my loved ones leave without me? Who will take care of them? This is what the thoughts that are going on in his mind. When actually he should be focusing on Krishna and hearing the holy names. He himself is suffering so much of intense lamentation. And the family members actually are doing it for their own. I was told when I was young, I used to always wonder, why is it that the relatives are crying when somebody is leaving the body? Why is it that a person, when he's leaving the body, so I was explained that actually when a person is leaving his body, all of us should cry, because the soul should feel as if there is a separation. That means we are feeling the separation. When the soul is leaving the body, that we are feeling the separation. The soul should feel that. Such a materialistic way of thinking, because if that is what the soul is going to think, or that is what you want the soul to think when the soul is leaving the body, then actually you're not doing any justice to the soul. You should really be impressing on the living entity, on that particular person who is leaving his body, to focus his attention on the holy names and focus his concentration on the form of the Lord. But rather than that, you're making that person feel that separation, which is already feeling. You're only intensifying that particular feeling of his. So, such a misplaced. Once at that time, I was thinking, oh yes, what they're saying is very logical. Yeah, it's good. You know, that soul should really feel that separation. Otherwise, how will we feel that we are attached to him? How will he feel that sense of attachment? But now, when we are in Krishna consciousness, we realize, what is it that, how, what sort of an injustice we are actually doing to the soul? By making him feel as if he is leaving us and we are so much attached to him. How can we manage without him? Glorious is that soul who is passing away in the association of devotees, hearing the holy names of the Lord. That soul is very rare, of course. Bahunam Janmanam Ante Gyanava Mam Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvamite Sa Mahatma Sadulabha. Such a soul is very rare who is able to get an opportunity like this to be leaving his body in the association of devotees. Of course, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, all of us have the opportunity to be such a soul, that Mahatma who is able to leave his body in the association of devotees, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So a devotee understands this, but for a materialistic person, when he comes across distresses in his life like Vritrasura, he's in so much of anxiety. is so disturbed that he takes shelter of so many other things. When we are disturbed, we try to take shelter of the holy name. We try to take shelter of the association of devotees. We try to take shelter of the form of the Lord. Come to the temple and pray. But for a materialistic person, when he's in distress, I remember when I was working in Siemens, a few realizations that I got along the way. There was a German, his name was Meyer. And this person, Germans are by nature very, very hardworking, very hardworking. And we can see how hardworking they are, that Germany, which was practically demolished after the Second World War, was completely flattened. There was nothing in Germany. The Allied forces had completely devastated Germany. All the bombs and thousands and millions of people were killed. But yet in 50 years, they have become a superpower. They have become a superpower. One of the most industrialized countries in the world, one of the highest per capita incomes in the world, one of the most materially advanced nations in the world is what Germany is today. And that is only because of the hard work of the German people. Sheer grit and determination. So we had this person by the name Meyer who was deputed from Germany to be a factory manager. At that time the concept was that there was all factories together and this person was heading all the factories. And Mr. Meyer would come to the office every day at 6 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, he would be there on the dot. The whole factory starts working at 8, but Meyer would come 2 hours before. And then he would be going all over the factory, personally inspecting each and every machine, whether it is working properly. And he had such a knack. All the workers, practically they would be having his Vyas Puja every day, every year on his appearance day. They glorify him to such an extent. Mike, such a wonderful manager and such a perfectionist. Just by hearing how a machine is running, he would be able to tell us whether something is wrong with the machine or not. And these are huge, huge machines, huge German machines. He was such an expert, several years of experience then. And I would always wonder, why is it that this person is coming at 6 o'clock in the morning? And in order to come there at 6 o'clock, he has to leave his home at 5 o'clock in the morning because he would stay in South Bombay and our factory was in Kalwa. That's, near New Bombay. 5 o'clock in the morning, he would leave home and sharp at 6, he would punch his clock and get in. And then he would be in the office till 8 o'clock in the evening every day. And I would just be thinking to myself, why is it that this person is such a big man? He has an opportunity to be really enjoying himself because most of the people who come from Germany over here, they consider it actually as a punishment posting. They don't like to be in India with all these Indians who don't know how to work, who are always lazy, according to them. So I would wonder. And until one day it came to my attention, or it came to my knowledge that this person was staying with his wife. Just him and his wife, they were staying in a 4-bedroom apartment somewhere in South Bombay, I don't know exactly where. And this lady was really a terrorist. Somehow her nature was such that she would keep on nagging her husband for every small thing, that she is lonely over here, she's got no friends, and she's got this whole place is so hot, and there's so much of crowd over here, so much of pollution, and this and that. And he would tell his wife, why don't you stay in Germany? I'll stay over here peacefully. Why don't you stay in Germany? But his wife would say, no, how can I stay away from you, and all those things. But ultimately, this man was so miserable at home that he would prefer the misery of the office. Coming to the office at 6 o'clock in the morning and working till 8 o'clock. He would completely shut himself out. And this is a lifetime misery till either he dies or his wife dies, or they separate, one of these three things happening. This is going to be a misery that he is bound to. Actually, he was a very nice person, very sober in his habits. He never had any vices. Most of the other Germans, when they were frustrated, they would take to intoxication, illicit sex. Most of the Indians also. Nowadays, that's how it is, situation in India. So you basically seek an outlet whereby all your frustrations and all your anxieties can be suppressed. Although they are not realizing it, they are completely under the control of Krishna, like we saw in the verse that was discussed yesterday. Happiness and misery come to you entirely by the arrangement of the Lord. But then you can't even reach out to these people. You can't even preach to them. They wouldn't be willing to even accept what you're trying to explain in terms of that you're not this body or the soul. All this is going to be part and parcel of life. This is a world of misery, dukhalayam, ashashvatam. You know, all these things are really of no... They're not able to understand it. Very few are those... of course, you need an empowered devotee like Srila Prabhupada to be going out and preaching and explaining the message of Krishna to all these hippies. Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, so he was... But otherwise, generally when you start trying to preach to these people, they are so much caught up in their own frustrations and trying their level best to get out of it. They are trying their level best to get out of their suffering, not knowing that there is no situation where they will ever be able to get out of their suffering. Anityam asukha lokam. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is a place which is temporary and which is miserable. Asukham, dukhalayam ashashvatam. But for a person who's got no knowledge about Krishna, what can he do? So we see from the pages of the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, devotees of the Lord are really not disturbed by anything that comes into their lives. And they consider everything to be an arrangement of the Lord. You have the story of Prahlad Maharaj, who could have undergone the austerities and the sufferings that were underwent by Prahlad Maharaj. His father, Hiranyakashipu, there was untold suffering, untold, in all respects, body, mind, physically, mentally, he was being abused at the age of 5 years. But he tolerated it, because he knew finally that whatever happens to him is happening by the will of the Lord. There is little that I can do about it. And I have been put in this position so that somehow or the other I become an example for others to emulate through the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or King Rantidev, for example. Such a glorious king. Only looking after the welfare of his subjects. Intense fast for 48 days. And then he was given an opportunity to be having some maha prasad, which was cooked in pure ghee. And his whole family was fasting along with him. And they were all preparing to honor this prasad, when just at that time, a brahmana walks into the house, saying that I'm hungry, please feed me. And then they open the door of the house, and then they feed the brahmana. Then a shudra comes, then a chandala comes. And even the water that was remaining was given by King Rantidev to the person who came with a pack of dogs, saying that these dogs are thirsty. Extreme sacrifice, extreme austerities, because they were completely surrendered to Lord Krishna, they were able to tolerate all this extreme miseries. Srivas Thakur, the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, right in the middle of the kirtan, his son left his body. And his family members were crying and wailing. And Srivas Thakur came to know that there was something wrong that was happened in the house. So he went inside to find out what happened. And then they told him that your son has left his body. And Srivas Thakur became very furious. He said, became very angry. He said, please do not lament so loudly. I don't want anything to be disturbing the ecstasy of the Lord. And after some time, the Lord when he came out of his ecstatic consciousness, and he realized that something was wrong, something had happened in the house. So he asked Srivastakur, what happened? And Srivastakur said, my dear Lord, nothing happened. Everything is, how can anything happen when you are there? But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went inside the chambers, inside inner chambers of the house, and came to know that the son had left his body. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started weeping. Started crying. Saying that, how can I ever leave the association of devotees like you, Srivas? And all the devotees could not understand, why is it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making this statement? Because they always thought that the Lord is going to be with them. But the Lord knew that in a short while he is going to be taking sannyas and leaving the association of devotees, of these devotees, at least for some time. And then by the Lord's mercy, this child came back to life. And the child started explaining that actually whatever happens, happens entirely by your will, by your arrangement. Nothing is there that is happening in this world without your sanction. Even for a small child, there was so much of certainty, and there was so much of feeling that it is actually the Lord who is in control. And the child said that, as per my karma, I am making my arrangements to go into my next body. And even when Srivastakur was insulted by this Gopal Chapala, a very envious person, who arranged outside his house all the paraphernalia for worship of Goddess Kali. And the next day morning, when Srivastakur opened the door of the house and he found that all this paraphernalia was there outside his house, one would have normally expected that he would have taken it inside the house and immediately closed the door. But Srivastakur, being who he is, a pure devotee, immediately called out to all the people and told them, see, this is what I actually do. You all think that I am a great Vaishnava, but actually what I am nothing but a worshipper of Goddess Kali. But then, just by his purity, all these materialistic people, even they knew that he was a pure devotee, and they said, no, who is this person who has done this? And immediately they set about cleaning the place and purifying it and sanctifying it. What to talk about Vasudeva the leper? I remember when I was a young boy, in the place that I was living in, there was an outbreak of leprosy. In the sense that there was a medical camp organized for treatment, not for treatment, for checking people. This was in the late 60s. And for some reason it was found that there were several people who were suffering from leprosy in that particular area where I was staying. And it was so unbelievable to see the reaction of the people. A person who you love, who you cherish, who is your affectionate family member, all of a sudden, literally is treated like a leper. He's a leper, so he's treated like one. Kicked out of the house. The person has got no place to stay. He has to go and make his own arrangement. Several families had their somebody or other loved person sent out from the house. One moment you are an affectionate, loving member of the family, and next moment you are not at all welcome. You are disowned, so to say. And 500 years back, and this was the time when there was actually a cure for leprosy. About in the late 60s, we already had a cure for leprosy. There were medicines that were available. The treatment took some time, but it could be cured. But 500 years back, there was no cure for leprosy. You become a leper, then you are dead, you are finished. You are rejected by society completely. You are sent out, there is a separate leper colony where people who have this disease, they stay over there. And nobody ever comes anywhere near those people. I mean, they have sores all over their body. And Vasudeva was a very exceptional sort of a leper. He had worms coming out from his body. Nobody ever sees such a disease anymore in India, at least anywhere in the world today. Because with some sort of a scientific advancement, your diseases are stopped before they become so obscene, so repulsive. So you can imagine that Vasudeva was going about walking in the streets and he had worms coming out all over his body. Living worms coming out all over his body. So obviously his body is rotting. His flesh is rotting. I'm sure when a stage comes when worms come out of any object, it means that particular object has become so rotten that it must be, you know, also emitting a very foul odor. Very bad smell must be coming out from. So Vasudev was in bliss. Whenever a worm would fall out from his body, he would take that worm back and put it back onto his body. And he had the consciousness that actually this worm has got as much right to live as I have to live. So compassionate. Tremendous tolerance. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew the consciousness of this person. Ultimately, Krishna consciousness is a matter of consciousness. Our external behavior is of no consequence. How we behave externally as devotees, wearing tilak, kanti mala, and dhoti and kurta, and all this so-called paraphernalia associated with you being a devotee. If your consciousness is not focused around Krishna, if your consciousness is not focused around serving devotees, actually all that dress becomes completely external. And it's only a matter of time that you are also exposed as to what sort of a person you are. Krishna will see to it. That at least in the association of devotees, you cannot continue to remain a devotee if you are only manifesting the symptoms of a devotee externally. Like in Hindi, there's a saying, "Vakt vakt ki baat hai." It's only a matter of time that Krishna exposes that devotee completely for what he is. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could see the heart of Vasudev and he could see how compassionate he was. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left the house of the Kurma Brahman, they left the village of the Kurma Brahman, but when Vasudev leper came over there and he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left, he was feeling so much separation. He was planning to run behind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but by that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to give a special mercy to Vasudev. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Vasudev and immediately Vasudev's whole body became completely transformed. All his sores disappeared and his body started emitting an effulgence, a golden effulgence. Any one of us in such a situation would have been so happy. Oh, such a great mercy has come upon me. But Vasudev was actually feeling very sad. He was just thinking to himself, oh, what has happened now to my body? Because this mercy has been showered upon me by the Supreme Lord, everybody will be thinking that I am the recipient of such a special mercy and they will glorify me. This is how a pure devotee of the Lord thinks. When Srila Prabhupada got the news when he was in Vrindavan that devotees were attacked in Mayapur, in the first instance, the information that came was very sketchy. It was not exactly known what happened. But later on, more and more information started coming. And finally, Jayapataka Swami personally came to Vrindavan to give the news to Srila Prabhupada what actually happened in Mayapur. How those devotees were attacked by the Mohammedans. And how Bhavanand Prabhu fired a few gunshots. And practically for about 1.5 months, the devotees were in jail. Srila Prabhupada started crying. He was weeping and saying, oh, these devotees in Mayapur, why did they have to go through so much of suffering? A pure devotee's heart is so compassionate. And Srila Prabhupada was repeatedly saying again and again during his. And actually, Srila Prabhupada was, in his final days of his pastime here in this planet, he was also going through tremendous physical pain, agony, all sorts of diseases are racking his body. So Vasudeva the leper was actually feeling that I will now become proud. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, no, don't worry. So far as you are chanting the holy names of the Lord continuously and trying to serve Vaishnavas, pride will never enter into your heart. So this was the instruction that was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also to the Kurma Brahman. When the Kurma Brahman wanted to run behind Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you just stay where you are. You are a grihastha, you have a family, you have your responsibilities to take care of. Just stay where you are, look after your family, and just chant all the time Hare Krishna. That is the perfection of your life. And the Kurma Brahman stayed back to take care of his family. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that all of us need not be in the renounced order of life in order to practice Krishna consciousness. All of us, in whatever situation we are in, if we are humbly trying to serve the Vaishnavas, humbly trying to serve the spiritual master, humbly trying to serve Srila Prabhupada, so our ashram is of no consequence. Grahe tako, vane tako, sada bole hari tako. Sada hari bole tako. Whatever ashram we might be in, ultimately if we are focused on remembering Lord Krishna, we will achieve perfection. So Srila Prabhupada also, through his own personal experiences in his final pastimes, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who was his secretary at that time, writes so many of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes at the time when he was preparing to leave his body in the year 1977. One of Srila Prabhupada's disciples by name Gaurachandra came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And he had come at that time with his new wife. He was married for the second time. So Srila Prabhupada, looking at Gaurachandra, started crying. He said, and Gaurachandra he and his wife, Govindadasi, they were one of the very, very earlier disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And they were serving as secretaries to Srila Prabhupada in Hawaii in 1967. They were from Hawaii, but they were serving Srila Prabhupada right since 1967. So one of the very, very early disciples of Srila Prabhupada. But somehow, they had encountered difficulties and they had left the movement. But when Gaurachandra came to know that Srila Prabhupada was preparing to leave his body, he came to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and started crying. He said, oh Gaurachandra, you have come to assist me in my last days. Thank you so much. And he asked him, where is your wife? Where is Govindasi? Srila Prabhupada remembered. 10 years later, he remembered his disciple who had left the movement because he was not able to continue. He remembered his name. He remembered the name of his wife. Although his wife was not there with Gaurachandra, because he had already left his wife and married somebody else. Still, Srila Prabhupada, where is Govindasi? And then for a long time, Srila Prabhupada was sitting with Gaurachandra and giving him his association. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj writes that actually Srila Prabhupada was really trying to give his mercy to Gaurachandra Prabhu. And Gaurachandra stayed back until practically the final days of Srila Prabhupada. He would be giving a massage to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada would be really appreciating it, saying that, yes, he gives such wonderful massage. Tamal Krishna Maharaj would periodically ask Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, can I give you a massage? Oh, Prabhupada, is it time for me to... And Prabhupada would say, yes, yes, it's time for me to take a massage. I always love massages. Any time of the day, I can take a massage. So humble. Although I'm ashamed to admit it, Srila Prabhupada made a statement that I'm ashamed to admit it, but I love to take massage throughout the day. And here there are hundreds of devotees who are willing to be wanting to serve Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was taking such a humble position. And finally, when Srila Prabhupada was really about to leave his body on the 11th of November, Srila Prabhupada suddenly got into his mind that he should be doing a parikrama of Govardhan. So much of feelings that he generated among the devotees. Because practically, Srila Prabhupada was by that time completely a bunch of bones put together, hardly eating anything. But suddenly he got a desire that I should be doing a parikrama of Govardhan on a bullock cart. So the devotees were telling Prabhupada, Prabhupada, how can you, in this condition, if you were to encounter, or if you were to take such a journey, you would definitely die. There's no doubt about it. Srila Prabhupada said, oh, death, taking a parikrama of Govardhan is so glorious. Further, he would give distress to the devotees. Just 3 days before Srila Prabhupada left his body. 14th of November, he left his body. On 11th of November, Srila Prabhupada was making elaborate plans. Here he was telling Tamal Krishna Maharaj, hire 4 bullock carts. Not just one, hire 4 bullock carts. And put nice carpet on it so that I can lie down on the bullock cart. He's giving elaborate instructions to Tamal Krishna Maharaj as to... And then finally, of course, the devotees all would come one after another and tell Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, this is not the right time. Once you become well, then we can do it. Srila Prabhupada is insistent. I want to do a parikrama of Govardhan. Just increasing the ecstasy of the devotees. Who all, you know, all this big GBCs from all over the world had come to be there with Srila Prabhupada just to get his association. Leaving all their responsibilities. And yet Srila Prabhupada was so much focused on what is happening that when Gopal Krishna Maharaj came to see Srila Prabhupada, the moment Srila Prabhupada came to know that Gopal Krishna Maharaj had come, Srila Prabhupada immediately asked, Gopal, why has he come? He should actually be printing books. Why has he left his service? So, even till the end, Srila Prabhupada was just focused on how we need to be doing our service. And that is more pleasing to the spiritual master. If we do our service properly, it may not be perfectly, right? To the best of our ability, the spiritual master is pleased. He sees that we are putting our best. Not that Srila Prabhupada got all qualified people to be doing the service for him. It is just that he selected a few people at random and said, yes, you are fit for this service, you are fit for this service, you can be the GBC, you can be the temple president. Of course, they had certain qualities, but it is not that they were perfect people for those positions. But Srila Prabhupada knew exactly how to get the best out of every individual. Each and every one of them was so surrendered to Srila Prabhupada that whatever Srila Prabhupada would make them do, they would do it perfectly. That is, of course, the power of a pure devotee. That when he gives you an instruction, he also empowers you. Provided we are careful to be performing that service to the best of our ability. That is what is ultimately the yardstick. Are we performing our service to the best of our ability? Right. The spiritual master knows. He is in direct contact with Krishna. So he knows whether we are really doing it properly or not to the best of our ability. And if we are, then whether we are doing that particular service correctly or not, it really is of no consequence. The spiritual master is pleased. And so many times we see over here, just a little bit of service that is rendered by any of his disciples to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada would be so much pleased. He would start weeping and crying, particularly towards the end of this pastimes in this world. Srila Prabhupada, at every moment he would be, when he would be remembering the service of his disciples, he would be weeping, saying, oh, you were great, you people are so great, I am nothing, I am insignificant, I am only here by the mercy of my spiritual master, but all of you have sacrificed so many things in order to come and serve my spiritual master. All of you are great. And so many times he would glorify like this. This particular appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when Srila Prabhupada also started crying, saying that all of you are actually rendering greater service than me to my spiritual master. I am so grateful to all of you. So this is a mood that Srila Prabhupada would be showing or sharing with all of us for our own benefit, just to see how we also need to be so much focused on our service to our spiritual master. Just a little bit of service is what pleases the spiritual master. We may think that, because we are always looking at a service from a material perspective. Yeah. Because everything in this world, we have been conditioned to thinking in terms of a material perspective. Right? And everything in terms of achievements. And those achievements have to be manifest. If the achievements are unmanifest, then according to us, we have not rendered any service or we have not done anything successfully. Right? But the spiritual master, even if that particular achievement is unmanifest, he sees how much efforts you have put. And then he passes it on to Krishna, telling Krishna that, see, this devotee, he is doing such nice service, please take him back to your abode. So that is the only hope for all of us. Try to please the spiritual master to the best of our ability. In whatever insignificant way, each of us are doing our own services. So it's getting late now, so we can stop here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.